Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Welcome to KGXT, Gen X Talks podcast, live from Central California. Making plans with the boys. I'm gonna hit the town. Yeah, I'm gonna make some noise. I'll push past the pain and my wounded pride. I'm gonna live it up. Yeah, stay out all night. But sure, I've had some better times. And I can't.
All right, we should do the intro first.
Yeah, why don't you start there? That's a good place to start.
Welcome to the Gen X Talks podcast, broadcasting from the KGXT studios, 200 feet below occupied California.
Live and unedited.
Live, unedited, unscripted, and unfiltered. You have no idea wife is going to say or do.
You just what about you?
Oh, I stay pretty constant. Everybody knows what to expect from me. They know how far I'm going to go in every direction. You are the wild card. You could be totally conservative. And when I say naked boobs, you go, oh, don't talk like that. Don't say that. Or sometimes you blurt it out. You blurt out naked boobs, and the whole world goes, oh my God, we can't tell what we're getting from you.
That's right. The truth. You got to keep them guessing.
No, you are
just mysterious.
Yeah, that's the word too.
It's mysterious.
Mysterious is the word. So yeah, we started. Now we can go back to what complaining about stuff.
Yeah. That's your favorite topic. You wake up in the morning complaining.
Especially on Thursdays when we can record.
Morning. Wait for me to stir in bed, and before I have my coffee in the morning, you are complaining.
You know what? Before you have your coffee, you view everything as a complaint.
from the moment my feet hit the ground. Complain.
If you sit down in your chair with your cup of coffee, but you haven't sipped it yet, you will tell the dog, what do you want? I haven't had my coffee yet. You view everything as a complaint until you've had coffee. Then the world seems to fall in order. The sun shines a little brighter, and we can all begin.
Why don't you just say, good morning, sunshine?
I do.
No, you don't. You start right in complaining.
Well, did I complain this morning? No. This morning I was like, hey, it's a great day. I'm getting after it. I'm here. You're here. Let's go. Yeah, it was a good morning. I didn't complain at all. But I saved my complaints for the podcast.
You started complaining. Where's my breakfast?
I did not do that. I'd been out here for 3 hours. By the time your big, fat, natural, white ass rolled out of bed, and all I said was, when you get a chance, after your cup of coffee.
So you didn't say good morning, sunshine.
No, I didn't.
No, but you never do.
But I typed softly. I texted you gently.
Isn't this the relationship we have? We now text each other.
Oh, I'm not going to walk in the house.
That's rude.
Well, when you're sitting there with your coffee yelling at the dog, I'm much safer out here. Yeah, that's the way I view it anyway.
So demanding.
But I am disappointed in Josh Maddox, the station manager. We very clearly said last week we wanted a specific song to play as our intro. And him and I even talked about it afterwards. But just like all kids, he didn't write it down. So here we are. Although I'm not too upset about the songs that were leading into the intro. They were good.
I'm not going there. I'm not touching that.
Just because you treat Josh like one of our kids.
Yes. I'm the go-between all the time. I'm the buffer between the kids.
Let's
you
hear
it. Just attack, 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 attack.
All I said was I was disappointed we didn't have our song. How's that an attack?
And he said last night he's a little stressed. And you love that. If somebody says they're stressed, you just go, oh, really? How about a little more?
Do you know you're the queen of that?
No.
You are the queen of seeing a situation that is stressful and intentionally making it 20 times worse.
No, that's not true.
Would you like an example?
No.
I would love to bring up this example.
We need to turn on the AC in here.
It's fine.
I'm going to start yawning. It's not fine.
Wait a minute. You're gonna yawn when because the AC's not on.
There's no air movement in this place.
I'll turn on a fan. That's a lot of air
then
movement.
Then you'll complain that it makes too much noise.
You know, did you see the electric bill last year for the studio?
I see the electric bill every year. Not just last year.
I admit, this is where I had to bend my knee to you. After the electric bill came in for the whole year, you know, we pay it, you know, yearly on our the way we pay it. And the electric bill came in and it was like $3,000 higher than the year before. I think it was a little more than that. And I was like, oh my God. And you rubbed it in my face. You go, there you go, big boy. You keep turning it. So, and I did. I took
it was an ice box in here, like every day.
And at the house, too.
You just went, I'm doing it.
It was the first year that I kind of went, you know what? I'm setting it to where I'm comfortable. And I'm paying for it now. I should not have done that. So what did I tell you this year? I bent the knee. I said, I am not touching it. No. And I've also not turned it on in here. You've come in and turned it on thinking, you know, that I was too hot. You thought I was overheating. You've done that for me.
Yes.
But I haven't done it once yet. I've been very good about like, I'm just, I'll stick it out.
You were cranking it on the first thing you got in the morning and left it on all day in here in the studio.
No, I haven't.
Last year,
I wouldn't leave it on all night, but I kept it cold all day. Not anymore. No.
Yeah, we'll see how the year hasn't started yet.
I don't care. The fiscal year has started, and my pocketbook knows. So, anyway, talking about you poking a situation. So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I submit some evidence to you to prove that my wife takes a situation and intentionally fucks with it, even though that's what she accuses me of doing. So, I don't know. I guess it was about a week ago. You said there was a pincher bug on the ceiling. And I'm like, and I couldn't see it. And you're like, it was in the nighttime, middle of the night. And you're like, okay. And what do they call them? It's a pincher bug or an earwig, right?
Yes.
And so I said, okay, so I turn on a couple lights. I grab my flashlight, and it's up there on the ceiling, and I can't reach it because it's a really tall ceiling in our bedroom. And I grabbed the little waste paper basket, and it got down low enough. I hit it with something, and this pincher bug fell, and I caught it in the trash can. I heard it hit. Now, you put in our waste paper baskets, you put plastic bag. Yeah, trash bags in there. You fold them over, and so that makes it easier to dump them. And I heard it hit the bag. I heard it hit the bag part. You know, it just hit it. And I'm like, okay. So now I'm standing in the doorway between our bedroom and our bathroom, and the lights are on, and I put my flashlight down. And I have to see where it hit this thing, because if it hit the part of the bag that's folded over the edge, it's going to fucking bite me.
Yeah, it's in brown carpet, too.
Yeah, and that ain't happening. So.
Oh, yeah, he went on a total girl thing. He was like, checking everything, the willy-nillies.
Well, because I grabbed this thing, I scooped it up, I was defending you and protecting you. Like
I don't need your defense on that, bug.
You called me to go get it.
I couldn't reach it, otherwise I'd take care of it.
So I got my back to you in the bedroom, and I'm holding this thing, and I'm in the doorway, and I'm trying to fold the plastic bag inward and make sure that it's not in the part I just don't want to get bit. Out of nowhere, you come up behind me and you poke me right in the ass. And I said, stop, because I was serious. Stop. And I kept looking and I'm turning. I'm looking, trying to make sure it didn't fall out. I'm looking at my feet where I'm standing and I'm looking in the bag and I'm trying to close it up. And you poked me again. And I went, stop it.
Poking the bear.
Because I'm serious. I'm doing something important here and you got nothing to do but poke me. Well, the third time you poked me, I took my hand and I swiped it across the back of my ass fast. And I hit your hand away and I go, stop. And I can't believe I'm even having this argument with you. Yeah, you're doing that. You're laughing behind me. Well,
it's an earwig.
It wasn't going to bite you. It was going to bite me. And you did it one more time. And I yelled at you, stop it, because I'm trying to do something. I'm telling you. I've never hit a woman in my life, but you getting behind me, if you'd have goosed me one more time with your thumb up my butt, I'm telling you, your forehead would have got the back of my elbow. Not really bad. I'd have tapped you. I'd have tapped you back. Punk, like just, you're not listening. I was there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, Would that have been just cause to give a little love tap on the forehead to say, get the fuck back. Stop poking me in the butt when I'm trying to solve a problem here, man. I'm doing my job as the guy that you me up to do. And then you come up in for no reason. You didn't even want in the bathroom. You got up just for the purpose.
Oh, just to piss you off.
You did.
Because you do it to me all day long.
Oh, come on. I give you, when I touch you, it's public displays of affection.
Is it now?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what we call it? That's what I'm calling my little poke in your butt. Public display of affection.
Okay. First of all, that's not affection when I'm in the middle of a situation.
Or a titty twister.
You know what? If I was wrestling an alligator, you'd still do it. You'd walk up and try to find a moment when I'm wrestling an alligator, you'd poke me as I'm doing it.
Yeah. That's, I would.
What do you... And people wonder why I consider taking in new applications for a wife every year on her anniversary.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Thank God.
Find another one. Be my guest.
Oh, I could find a woman who wouldn't poke me in the ass when I'm battling creatures.
Okay. All right. I just can't handle this new energy general. Energy husband. Energy Gen X dad. Energy love of my life. It's scaring
been,
me, man.
It's been good, man. Was it like the last 4 days? Yeah.
It's a little too much.
Well,
it's a little too much for me in the morning. I'm not a morning person.
Okay, but think about this. I'm not kidding. You're not kidding. It's a real thing. It's noticeable. It's a noticeable difference. MarcyZavala.com. One yawn. There's one. MarcyZavala.com. And I'm following her suggestions on the diet. Dr. McDreamy, making sure I don't miss any medications. I'm just making sure that I don't skip anything.
Wait, who's making sure you take your medications?
Well,
let everybody know. Tell them the truth.
You.
Yeah, so, if I didn't give them to you, you wouldn't take them.
The only thing is that I'm making sure that I take them all. I eat them all. And I've been, to be fair, you've fixed better food. No more fast foods at all. We've been eating better a little bit, you know, just changing what we're doing a little bit there. And then the medicines are all on time. And the yuck water. Made sure I've been drinking that goddamn stupid yuck water.
Did you do it today? Did you drink it today?
No, it's sitting. You gave it to me. It's sitting right here. Look.
Let's go. Get down it. You can do it on stream right now. On camera.
All right.
Show everybody how much it is. This is how much he complains about.
Okay. For everybody watching on the video portion of this, I don't even let her put it in a full jar anymore. I go, just give me like
so pathetic.
2 ounces of water and mix this shit in with a straw. I'll get it done. All right. Here we go.
It's ridiculous.
This is gross.
Listen to him whine like a little girl.
The problem is that I'm going to make that face on camera now when they
watch this. Yes, I want people to see.
It's not pleasant.
Let's watch this. Ready, set, go. This is so pathetic. He's like 12 years old. Here we go. Watch the face. See?
Oh,
play a little child.
Oh, God. Okay. Yuck water completed. Wash that shit down.
Are you done?
Hold on. Takes about 12 seconds to overcome the effects of yuck water. All right, you can turn the air on now if you're getting a little hot. I'm warm, so if you're warm, then you can.
Okay, well, anyways, you could talk. Weren't you going to have Marcy Zavala on the program?
It was supposed to be. Well, not on here. We were going to have her on the live stream. Bottom of the Glass Nation show on Saturday. She was just supposed to tell me, and then I was going to learn how to bring in a StreamYard person, like a Zoom call. And if she can just jump on her phone and I can bring her in for 10 or 15 minutes, that's what I was going to do. We didn't connect on it last week. I think she was busy.
Well, she was a little busy, but she did said she had time. But you need to get her on the schedule.
Oh, she did say she had time?
Yeah, well, one of her sons had a track meet, but she said I think it was Thursday. I don't remember. It was one night she said that she was available, but
I never got the message that she had time, or I would have.
It was at the last minute. It was like right before the live stream or whatever. Well, but you have to
You need to work it out. You just tell me that you want to do it and that she has time, because you do all the scheduling around here.
You want her on the Bottom of the Glass Nation show?
Yeah, sometime. If we start at 6 and we go till about 7 or 7:30 on a Saturday, then I think we should have a Zoom link. We can just send her real quick from my computer, and I'll bring her in.
You want her on a Saturday show?
A Saturday show would be best, yeah. And probably around 6:20, 6:30.
Okay, well, I will work on that.
I think it'd be fun to do that.
All right.
And just think, you know who else wants to be on the show?
Who?
He called me yesterday.
Who wants to be on the show?
He goes, I want to be on the show, but I'm not tech savvy. And I'm like, dude, I could just send you a link. You could click it and just stare at your phone. He goes, that's it. I go, that's it. He goes, okay, can I be on a program? I'm like, yeah, let me get a minute. Iceman.
No, he doesn't.
I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. We talked about it. He'll do it.
Oh, my God. I'll have to find out his schedule and see what he can do.
Just think of all the possibilities we could bring into some people having some cool, just, you know, not the whole show, but like just 10 or 15 minutes.
You guys can go into some deep conversation. Iceman will go for 3 hours.
Well, yeah, Iceman, you could just leave him going and hold your camera up and just keep it going. He could talk the whole time. You know who I want to talk to pretty quick here is Dr. McDreamy.
Again?
Well, about the fight coming up, because I am not in agreements with what Dr. McDreamy is saying about the Mike Tyson.
So you want him on a Zoom call?
Yeah, on the show, because he's got this whole boxing perspective because he's the man, you know, and they're doing this in Texas. I don't think it's a sanctioned heavyweight fight. It's just an exhibition fight.
All right,
don't
give everything away. Okay, do you want me to set that up? Because you got to happen soon. When's his fight? July? When's the Tyson fight?
I thought it was in a week. I don't know. Maybe it is July. I don't remember. I thought it was in a week or two. I don't know.
By the way, I went looking for some applesauce this morning.
Okay, look, I started in the studio so early this morning, and I didn't want to bother you, didn't want to wake you up, so I grabbed a jar of applesauce, and I ate it. And the problem is, the first thing you tell me is you ate the whole jar?
Yes.
Well, but I was just sitting here. I had a spoon, and I just ate as I was working. I got after it today, man. I was getting some shit done. And it said no sugar on the outside of that thing.
Added. It's a code. No sugar added. They didn't put additional sugar into it.
No, that means that whatever came in the apple, whatever God intended, the sugar levels God intended in the apples was in there. And you're saying God's wrong. That's what you're telling me.
I didn't say God was wrong. I just said you ate a whole shit ton of sugar in the applesauce.
No, I didn't. I didn't have any sugar. I just had the apple.
Oh,
are you saying
God.
God's wrong?
That no, God- I'm saying the whole food of an apple in the refrigerator, in the crisper, is better than the jar one.
I even saw where you bought it from. It wasn't even like you bought it from a regular grocery store. You got it from one of those weird places that sells weird food, like Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or something.
Sprouts, you mean?
Yeah, Sprouts. See? Yeah, good. That's where
weird
the good
store.
Stuff. Yeah. They don't have regular, like, you can't walk in there and find food that I like. You can't walk into a Sprouts and go, can you point me to where the Pop-Tarts are? They don't have any.
That's true.
If they do, they're probably gross, but I'm just saying.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
I saw a thing to make a homemade Pop-Tart on a cookie sheet. One big, huge Pop-Tart.
A homemade Pop-Tart.
On a cookie sheet.
On a cookie
You know what
sheet.
I'm talking about. Like a, what is that? A 10 by 16? 11
That's
by 16?
That's a big Pop-Tart.
Yeah, I watched this lady do it and I was like, that's way easy. Way easy.
Well, what are we doing, man? We should be doing this kind
no,
of stuff.
No, because you can't have it.
I can't even have one if you make it? Couldn't you make one that was McDreamy and MarcyZavala.com friendly?
No. No.
All right. Well, I would say that's the way I would do it. Anyway, so just if you make one. If you make one, I have to sample it as your husband.
I'm not going to make it. I'll make it for a special occasion.
Yeah. Special occasion is breakfast.
I should surprise the kids with it this weekend.
Yeah, you should.
All right. Do you have a daughter update?
We did a big daughter update last time, so I'm not going to waste like 30 minutes, but you're not going to believe what happened today.
What happened?
So thank you so much for asking. So this morning, while you were fast asleep, I was standing guard over you, which is what I do all night. I stand.
In the studio?
No, I was in our room, and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was up. And I was surprised. I think I was even up, and Mrs. Four wasn't up. I had no one to talk to at 4 in the morning.
Aw, you're not supposed to be up at 4 a.m.
I know, but my brain was just going, man. Dr. McDreamy and Marcy's got me on this thing, man. I'm just going. So my alarm goes off on my phone that there's someone in the front yard. Now, remember, our daughter still lives here. Her boyfriend rides his motorcycle over here, parks it on the side of the house, gets in the car with her, and they both drive out to where they work at the base of the grapevine, pretty far away.
Yeah.
That makes sense, especially since I found out his motorcycle is 1 year out of registration.
Yeah, and have you looked on the tires on that thing? They're bald.
Are you serious?
They're totally bald on it. I've seen him went, yeah, I hope he doesn't ride that in the rain.
Which he does, because it's only vehicle. He has no car, no truck. Anyway, so I check the cameras, you know, I'm sitting there, just grab my phone, check the camera. He's riding up, puts his bike on the side. Now he's waiting for our daughter to come out. She's on time. She's got her stuff. She comes out. Now I can see them in the driveway shuffling around. And I noticed that our other daughter, who spent the night last night, parked behind.
And they both have kind of the same exact cars.
They both have the same car. But it's, I can tell at some point, our one daughter has to come in and knock on the bedroom door at 4:30 in the morning of our other daughter and go, can I get your keys? So I'm watching this, just figuring this is how this is going to go. And as I'm watching it, guess who I see come in the house? Her boyfriend.
What?
And I can't see through the security cameras in the living room. I can't see the bedroom, you know, the bedroom or the bedroom door where our other daughter is staying. But it's the only door down that hall. And I see him walk in the entryway, walk around the corner, and I hear a knock on her door. Like our one daughter said, oh, go wake up my sister. Oh, go get the key. I fucking lost my fucking mind. I'm surprised you didn't hear me because I
cussed. Our daughter that's sleeping would have freaked out.
I jumped. I went to the top of the stairs. You know that red baseball bat by your side of the bed? Because
yes.
I've got a pistol and you've got a baseball bat.
Yes.
I'm in my cutoff t-shirt, my sleeveless shirt, my boxers. I didn't even slip on my boots. I grabbed that bat and I'm at the top of the fucking stairs. I'm serious. I went down there. I was going to go, you knocked on my daughter's door, you motherfucker. I don't even allow him in the house at those times in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't let him come and even take a piss. Don't fucking come in my house. And there I come around the corner and it wasn't him. It was our daughter. I got it confused on camera. It looked like, because the cameras are fuzzy, and it looked just like him. It did not look like our daughter at all. And I lost my fucking shit. So I'm at the top of the stairs with a bat and I'm going, what the fuck? And then our daughter looks up and goes, what, Dad? What's going on? I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm getting the keys. I got to move the car. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, I was just checking. I didn't want to tell her that I thought it was her boyfriend, because then she would have been like, wait, you thought I would send my boyfriend in here at 4:30 in the morning? And then now you're at the top of the stairs with a bat?
She has the tendency to do that. It's not far-fetched for her to do that.
No. That's not too far out of the realm of something she would do.
It's not.
So, yeah, at about 4:12 this morning, I was at the top of the stairs in my boxers with a bat thinking, I'm going to fucking clock this dude. I thought it was him.
What a way to start the morning.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's your daughter update. So, she still lives here. She's still dating him. But, you know, I did give her the talk. And I said, when you move out, you make sure this is it. I don't want you paying rent here anymore. You know, you pay rent over there. Just move out. Take your shit and go. You know, you got to make a decision. This 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out. If he's not the guy, tell him.
Yeah.
And exactly. Stay here. If he is the guy, move all of your shit into his apartment and go.
And we have to tell you guys, she's turning 25 years old. This isn't like she's 18 or 17 or 18. She's 25, going to be 25. So she said she was cleaning her room. I swear we have to teach her like a teenager to keep her room clean. Did you see the bag that was outside her door?
No.
She had a large black yard trash bag outside her door full of trash.
That wouldn't even cut it with all the stuff that was in there. That wouldn't cut it,
would it? That makes me know where your earwigs are coming from.
Ah.
She's got so much shit in there. Open containers. I don't even want to. We're not going to go there.
Well, we'll see how it goes. But she should have cleaned. You know what she told me last night? I told her 4 days ago. I go, the entire family's coming over this weekend. Clean your room. So she waits till the last day because people are arriving today.
Yes, they are.
So she waits till the last day. And I go, clean the fucking room. What are you doing? She goes, I'll do it today. I said, you better get it done. So now she cleans up the room. She's supposed to do the dishes so you don't have to. That's her one chore. She's supposed to do the dishes. And she didn't. And when I got, I go, why is mom down there doing the dishes? She goes, because you told me to clean my room.
Oh, that's a teenager move.
I said, I told you to clean your room 5 days ago. So let me see if I get this right. Because you waited till the last minute, now mom's doing all the dishes from all the baking and all the cooking she's done. because you timed this. She goes, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I'm cleaning my room like you told me. I can't go down and do that. Now, Dad, if you want me to do the dishes, I'll do the dishes, but then my room won't be clean like you want.
Why? She's up all night anyways.
I don't know, but it just, I'm telling you.
Well, last
I was
night
boiling.
After, what did we do last night? Oh, we had a staff meeting last night. And yeah. I had told you before when I was making dinner, I was so tired, right? Yep. I was just dragging ass yesterday. And I was like, after the staff meeting, I really got, I'm tired. Yeah. I had made dinner early so we could do the staff meeting. And I left it out because Briggs was coming home and then our daughter was coming to spend the night. Right. So I left dinner kind of out for everybody to have. When I got in there, both daughters were in the kitchen talking. Nobody was doing anything. All the food was left out and it had been left out for an hour. It was time to put it away. And I noticed all the dishes in the sink. And I was walking away and then all of a sudden Jade says goodnight and she walks away. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I have to do this. I got to put all this stuff away.
She knows she's supposed to do. She just watched. She just walked right through there knowing all of it needs to get done and it's her job. So one chore she's got and then she just tells you, see you later.
So our daughter's just talking to me. The one that came to spend the night was just talking to me and telling me about her day and stuff like that. And I'm doing dishes and I'm so tired. Like, it was a lot. I had to put everything away. I was just like, what the hell? I want to be able to just go, I'm tired. I'm just going to go lay down. But
well, welcome to what the world is with our kids. Even though they're growing up and we thought we were done with them, we're not.
Okay, so we're going to do now. I want you to do a mechanic story now instead of like at the end of the program.
You know, I thought of one. It's kind of, it's really short and stupid. I could probably think of another one, but When you're working at dealerships, you always have to go to training. You always got to go to schools. I told you guys about the one where we had that. They flew me to Phoenix and that 7-hour job. Did I tell you about that one where we had to do that 7-hour job? And I didn't want to do it.
Yes.
So I cheated.
Yes.
And they didn't figure it out till I was already on the plane and leaving.
Yes, you told us.
Well, so they would introduce this one hotshot guy. We were down there for, it was Mazda.
You were in Phoenix again?
Yeah, I was in Phoenix again. And they flew us out of Vegas to Phoenix. And they introduced this hotshot teacher. And, you know, I was in my early.
Like Top Gun.
Top Gun teacher. And he's like, okay, well, they said every dealership gets to send their best guy to this school. And this guy is going to, this is our best guy at the factory level.
Again, it sounds like Top Gun.
Yeah. And it sounds like it. Not quite as cool when you're a mechanic, though.
You've
when
been
you're,
selected for Top Gun.
That's right. When you're except you're just a mechanic. You're not flying a plane. So anyway, they introduced this guy, and he's just got all these trophies and plaques and awards. He's been the fastest, and he's going to teach us at that time, you know, advanced computer and electrical diagnosis.
Wow!
Which really, every couple of years, a lot of things change, so you always have to be going to school for that. And this one was just one of those classes. It'd be kind of like dinosaur technology compared to today's, but back then it was cutting edge. So this guy got up there after he was introduced. He's at this little podium. We're all in this room. And he's got these slides and stuff, and he's pretty arrogant. The first class we have
with him. Don't you think he's earned that title?
Yeah, maybe. You know, he has, but, you know, it bothered me a little bit. So you got 30 of 440 Southern California and Southern Nevada, the best mechanics trained in computers and electrical, and then this guy telling us how he does stuff. So after he gets done with his presentation, he takes us into a room, and there's all these cars, and all the hoods are open. He says, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to start talking about some of the new systems that are coming out with, and we got all the prototype cars here. So some of the stuff you won't see for a year or two, some of the stuff will be familiar. And where everyone's walking around the room, and he goes, we're going to start on this truck over here. Pretty basic little four-cylinder truck. And I had worked on one that gave me a fit on something. I couldn't get it to idle right, and I found this little tiny vacuum line. Back then on carburetors, when you had a carburetor on a vehicle, it when you get a vacuum leak, it makes it stumble and run rough. Today's cars are fuel-injected, and when you get a small vacuum leak, it usually raises the idle. It's a little bit different configuration. Anyway, so this one vacuum line, it was under the part of the engine, under the manifold, didn't see it, couldn't find, took me a while, and I finally, oh, God damn it, and I fixed it on this one particular car. So as I walk over to this truck, I reach under, so this is a truck he said we're going to start working on pretty soon, we're going to look at it, and it's a brand new vehicle, got like 60 miles on it. So when no one's looking, I reach under and I unplug that vacuum hose. And then I go back in the group and we get over there and he fires this thing off and it warms up. And as soon as it warms up and the idle drops down to where it's supposed to be, it's stumbling and running really bad.
Okay.
And he goes over there and he revs it a few times and continues talking to all of us. We're all standing around this truck and it goes back to running rough again, idling bad, just bum, brum, 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 brum. And he goes, I don't know what this is. And so he's messing with it. He can't figure it out. He goes, this was running good an hour ago. I just moved this thing an hour ago. It was running fine. Now it's not running fine. So he's messing with it. He's looking. He tucks his tie into his button-down shirt. And now he's leaning over the engine. And we're all sitting there. And he's had this big introduction and stuff. And I said, I'm in the back of the crowd. And I said, well, I'm sure for a guy of your abilities, this won't take you very long.
Oh, you're a dick.
And he messed with it for probably 20 to 25 minutes. He goes, well, we don't have time to deal with this right now. And I said, well, do you mind if I take a look at it? And he goes, no, go right ahead. Because now he's like, dude, I just looked at it. If I can't figure it out, you can't figure it out. So he fires the thing off and I'm wandering around. I didn't go right to the hose. I kind of wandered around and had my hands here and checked this. And then I put my hand under the intake and I plugged the hose back in and it idled just fine. I said, there you go. I tapped him on the shoulder as I walked back into the crowd. I go, there you go, big boy. We're good. He didn't say a word until after class. And we were going to be there a week. And he called me into his office. He goes, I know that you unplugged that hose. I can't prove it, but I know you did it just to make me look bad. He goes, this is going to be the longest week of your life.
Oh, good going there, buddy. Good going.
So, yeah.
What a way to piss the teacher off day one.
Yeah.
Hey, that's your mantra, though. That's what it was like in elementary school.
Yeah, there's just a fun story that I remember doing. Yeah,
you have lots of those fun stories of messing with people.
Well, he gave me every shit job and every question that he came up with. He said, hey, we're going to learn about X, Y, and Z. And he'd point to me in the back. He goes, do you know about that? And if I said no, he goes, yeah, I didn't think you did. And then he'd give us the lesson. But he'd always point me out that I didn't know
something. You started
it. Well, yeah.
You started it.
It was fun.
Remember what you told me about me poking the bear?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Now it's just coming back
to
haunt you.
I don't like it when it's me getting poked.
Of course not. How convenient.
So that was one of my dealership when they flew us out for training stories. And
yeah. So are we still moving next year?
Yeah. And we are. We're going. We're gonna pick a place and move. Now you know what? Really, now you don't want to move?
I just love my house and my everything.
Well, I know, but it's time. I mean, we have a big house and a big yard that's hard to keep up, and we don't have kids around anymore.
I know.
It's time to move.
I don't know. I have
you
days
were all
where,
about it. 6 months ago, you were all about moving.
I know. Have you decided where?
I've narrowed it down to three places.
Oh, we have three?
Yeah. If you know where Clovis is and you go from Clovis towards Yosemite,
yes,
there's rolling hills. I think it's called Oakhurst. It's out there. Before it gets into the, you know, to the Sierra Nevadas, there's some low lying areas that have acreage out there. I kind of think that might be out of our price range, but I'd like to go look. The other one is I'm thinking south of Reno. There's some high desert areas that get snow in summers and they've got seasons outside of Reno. And then my last place I want to look is outside of Vegas. I don't really want to live there again, but there were some places that had a little bit of property that you could kind of get out if there's places outside of Vegas. My thought is this. I want to be near a town, a big town, where I can go do stuff. I can drive into town, and then when I go home, I can drive away. Also has to have a big airport, so that you can go visit the grandkids and kids and they can come visit us with a big airport, not like, you know, 13 different layovers to get to a tiny airport.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I don't want to be so remote they can't get to us. I'm not trying to move us to Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, I understand.
So those are my initial thoughts. I want to go start looking around at those three places.
All right. I just have mixed feelings. I mean, I love my house and my property and we've made it our own and it's just, it's wonderful. It's safe. It's yep. comfortable. It's home, right? And I think the other flip side is I'm looking forward to having a new house and new things and decorating. And then, like, if we have to do the backyard and
starting over and doing what we
want. I'm okay with that. I just don't want to be, you know, 65 and doing it again. But then I think there's lots of people, like people that are in New York that retire at 65 and move to Florida. Yeah. So I'm like, okay.
The only thing I'm really worried about, I'm worried about the cold on you. That's one. Because the cold gets to you. I know you say, well, I'll just stay indoors. Yeah, you never do. Especially you. You wouldn't. And you get cold, and sometimes it really hurts you. Like, it hurts you more than it hurts me. The cold on your joints and stuff. So I got to take that in consideration. And Reno would definitely be cold. But the other thing is I don't want to move. And 6 months after we move, have you come to me and go, I don't like it. I want to go back.
Yeah.
Because once I sell that house, I'm worried about you having buyer's remorse and we're stuck with it.
Yeah. I definitely, if I'm going to move, I don't think I want to be in California anymore.
Well, we can.
That's how I feel.
We can go. That's fine. There's lots of places to live. But yes, we're still moving. It's time. It's time for me to move on.
All right. Well, another thing, I don't know when this was or whatever, but really quick, I heard you and Briggs, I think you were in the garage or something, and talking about religion or proof of God or whatever. Do you remember? I overheard it. I think I went out to the garage for something and then...
He asked me if God, I guess somebody brought this up in one of his classrooms at college. He said, does God still prove he exists?
And I said,
what do you mean? And he goes, well, like in the Bible, he did things. Jesus did things to show miracles right in front of people where they could see it. You know, he rose from the dead and walked around and like 500 different people saw him in different places.
Right.
He goes, so, you know, it'd be much easier if he did stuff right now where we could see. And I said, well,
he does.
A lot of that is open to people's interpretation. In other words, if there's a miracle and someone gets cured of some disease, Christians will say, we prayed really hard and that person was not supposed to get cured like you, and God healed that person. And, you know, atheists or non-believers would just say, yeah, well, that's just luck. They got lucky and the cancer went away, or they got lucky and this, you know, it happens, and they don't attribute it to God. So it's really difficult. So we talked about a lot of different things in the world that you would say, we could point out to different things and go, a lot of these events are very easily attributed to God did it. It's much harder to believe that it was an accident. It's much harder to believe that it was blind luck or things just go the way they... No, it's pretty much there's order to the universe. There's order to all of this. And it's much easier to believe that God did something like that, a miracle. And we talked about a bunch of those. But The funny thing, I said, this is, I'm going to tell a story now. And this is what I told the kid. I said, I'll tell you a story that happened to me when I was younger. And you can attribute this either way. But there was a guy that came, we ended up, it was through our church, it was through Grace Community Church. And we ended up kind of at a seminar. It was an outdoor place. I think it was while we were at camp 1 year. And they said, anybody wants to go do this, we're going to go listen to this guy talk. And the topic was he was going to prove there's no God. Okay. He could prove it. We're like, all right. I wanted to go. Even I think it was 13 or 14. I still wanted to go. So we went. And turns out, because all these other camps were in there was like 300 kids. 300 Christian kids that showed up and said, I want to see what this guy has to say. That was really unique. I thought there's going to be like 9 people there. And it was an outdoor venue sitting. There was kind of the seats were kind of carved into this little hill. So you were sitting
like an amphitheater.
Like an amphitheater, right. So this guy, he brings like 80 bottles. They were green bottles. He takes a bottle out and smashes it over his head. Just breaks it into pieces. He goes, this is called sugar glass. It's what they use in movies. It's super fragile. It doesn't hurt. It can't cut you. And, you know, he dropped one on the ground and it shattered. He put one on the ground and tipped it over. He just flicked the top of the bottle, and just from the bottle falling on its side, it broke into pieces. He goes, they're extremely fragile. You can't even, if you set them down too hard, they break. So he set another one on the ground and knocked it over, just tilted it, just tipped it over, and it broke. Like 3 or 4 of them. He goes, okay, does everybody see how fragile these are? He had this long presentation, this long talk about that there's, you know, no proof that God is real, no proof that Jesus existed, on and on and on. But he gets to this point, and Nobody knew where he was going to with this, with these bottles. And he stands there and he holds one up about the height of his head. And he drops it from about, you know, 6 feet high. And of course, it easily shatters. He goes, now, I'm going to hold up another bottle. And everybody who's a Christian, pray as hard as you can that God will not let this break. If there is a God, the glass won't break. Pray to your God. If your God is all powerful.
That's not how he works, but okay.
No, it's not. But that's what he was doing to us kids.
Okay.
And, you know, he's got 300 teenagers there, and I'm just staring at this guy. There's a bunch of kids praying too. And he said, if your God is real and your God is all powerful, then when I drop the bottle, let's have it not break. So he gave everybody, I'm going to guess it was a full 5 minutes of prayer. And he was standing there, he's walking around on the stage holding this bottle up, and he's holding it 6 feet high. You know it's going to break. There's no reason it wouldn't break. You know, God also set gravity in motion. God also decided the physics of sugar glass way before today. You know, and so you know it's going to break, and he's praying, or he's not praying. Everybody's praying, and he's walking around. Finally, he goes, okay, everybody be done praying. Let's see if your God exists. And he stands center stage, and he drops the glass. He drops the bottle.
And everybody's expecting it to break.
You know what it did?
What?
It hit his foot. It hit his shoe. And it rolled off to the side of the stage. It hit his foot.
I bet you that was stunned.
Oh, you want to talk about teenagers that were making fun of that dude right to his face.
Oh.
He quickly, the crowd erupted in laughter at him and screaming. He grabbed another bottle and dropped it He kept breaking them, but the one that he
kept hold of the whole time.
The whole time just happened to. Unlucky for him, it hit his shoe and just rolled across the stage.
That's awesome.
And never broke. So I told the kid, so is that proof that there's a God? Or is that just a weird coincidence that out of 30 bottles he broke, the one that was the test didn't break? And I said, you can call it an accident or a coincidence. You can call Jesus and all that a fairy tale and on and on and on. I said, and none of that really mattered, because you're right. That's not how God works. But in the end of it, I told him, I said, I want you to think of it this way. This is a real simple way to put, you know, when he was asking me about that aspect of religion, I said, well, if I live my whole life thinking the Bible is true and there was a God and there is a Jesus and on, and you live your whole life thinking there's not one, if I die and I'm wrong and there's nothing at the end of life, what difference did it make whether I believed in God or not? What difference did it make if I was a Christian or not? Nothing. I lived my life a certain way, and at the end, I was wrong. There was nothing. But if you live your life like there's no God and no Jesus, and you're wrong, and there is, you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
So you live whatever you want, but, you know,
What happens in the end.
Even if I'm just hedging my bets, I think I'm in better shape than the guy who's just living his life pretending that everything's okay. True. Anyway, so I didn't know you walked in on that, but that was the discussion. But I'll promise you, he'll never forget that sugar glass story.
No, he won't. But I have a religion question for you.
Yeah.
It seems like the word Bible is such a dirty word. Like, you say it and it totally shuts people down immediately. Do you think if we were to rename the book, like a history book, the history of something, or the history, do you think more people would read it and read it just like a book or a novel?
Right. Yeah.
And is it just because it says Bible on it? What do you think?
I think you're right. I never really thought about it before, but since you brought it up, people say the word Bible like, oh, you're one of those Bible. Okay, Bible
thumper.
It's
like a dirty word.
Okay, you read the Bible. All right. You're right. What if you just call it the history of the Bible?
Yeah, our history of the Bible. Whatever.
Like,
okay.
Well, history of the Bible. Then just read it.
Because that's kind of what it is. It's a history book. It's just like us picking up an American history book. Did we live back in George Washington times?
No.
No.
We can read about it.
But we read about it. We have accounts of it. That's what the Bible is, isn't
it? It's kind of funny that you can go back to Roman times, and if you're talking to people, and I'm like, I don't believe Caesar did that stuff. I don't believe Nero did that stuff. Oh, no, no, you don't understand. There was people there. There was witnesses. They saw what happened, and they wrote down in manuscripts what Caesar did. And thankfully, we can read those accounts now. Oh, okay. Funny you should bring that up, because we had the people see Jesus rise from the dead. They were there. They saw it, and they wrote it down, too.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. We don't count those.
He had 12 people walking around with him daily, writing down these miraculous things that happened that are unexplainable.
No.
I don't know. Maybe
those don't count.
Oh, they don't.
No, it's funny how they do that. You're gonna find this funny too. I got into an argument with someone the other day, and how did it come up? He says, "Oh, it was illegal immigration, and there's children that get brought across the border, and like, look, you tell the parents you can't be here, you're here in the United States illegally, you got to go, and the kids got to go too." And they said, no, the children should not ever be punished for what their parents have done. That's not fair. That's not right. They have no control over what their parents did. If their parents did some illegal stuff, if their parents crossed the border illegally, even if their parents are into drugs and they rob America, and you want to kick them out, you should not ever, ever in any way hold the children responsible for what their parents did. And I said, "Are you sure about that?" And he goes, "That's how I feel." I said, "Oh, okay, well, cool, because that helps me out in a whole other area of life." And the guy says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I was really having a good argument towards slavery and reparations, but as long as we're good with not holding kids responsible for what their parents did, I think we're onto something here." And he goes, "Oh, no, that's different." I said, "Oh, of course it is."
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a moron. I love how they make up
rules for one and no rules for the other.
You should have seen his mouth drop open when I said that. I said, "All right, well, now that we got the rules, I can play too."
Oh,
he didn't like
that. Oh, my gosh. Anyways.
Hey, your camera has not froze the whole time. Can you believe that?
That's amazing.
And it seems like we're still on the air. This is working out, man. This is working out good.
We finally figured it out.
We got one show out of it anyway.
So what's the deal with your gorilla, alligator? Where are we now? Are we on a different animal?
No.
Oh, we don't have a different animal this week.
I'm still on gorillas. I moved away from alligators. Two things.
Oh, great.
I can't believe when I really start paying attention how much gorillas are like people. It's amazing. I mean, I always knew that, but now that I'm really watching a lot of it, it's like, holy Santa Claus shit. That's amazing. The other one is, I think I could wrestle an alligator and come out, like I could break even fighting an alligator. You throw me in a swamp, if I can get a hold of him, I got a shot. Especially if we're out on land, I got a really good shot. But I don't think I could fight even a medium-sized gorilla. In fact,
oh, hell no.
I'm not sure if I could fight a full-grown chimpanzee. That's how strong they are. I don't think I'd have a chance.
The chimpanzee would bitch slap you, okay?
Okay. Nobody's bitch slapping the general.
A chimpanzee has those long arms. It would be like, smack. It would just smack you.
Well, I'm just saying that I have come to those conclusions. I don't think I could even... I don't think I could fight a monkey. Maybe a little bitty monkey. Maybe a little one. But not if there was like three of them. No. But
and you think you have a problem with me poking?
Yeah. Well,
could you imagine a monkey?
Why would a monkey poke me in the butt?
Oh, just to piss you off. Poke you all over.
Nah.
It's quick.
How would you know?
I've seen him in a zoo.
And there, you've seen monkeys poking in a zoo, and now you're a monkey
expert.
Yeah.
I'm an expert. All right. So I got up this morning. I'm a little peeved. Got up this morning.
Wait, is this before or after your coffee?
Before, went in the shower.
See?
And what do you think I found in the shower?
I have no idea.
Come on.
What?
Soap.
Well, soap belongs in the shower, so we're good.
And then there's
did you find water too?
Caveman drawings.
Okay. I was going to go back and clean that up.
You were not. You just lied like a...
No, I just forgot. I was writing something. Look, this is important, okay? I needed to go back and...
Everything is important when it's in the shower.
You know that's where I draw. That's where I get my inspiration is drawing with soap on the shower, the glass, because that's where stuff comes to mind.
What are we inventing this time?
I want to make... I'm torn on this idea, but I'd like to make an aluminum can, like for beer or soda... that doesn't make any noise when you open it.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm working on that because if I crack open a Coke at 2 a.m. and you're asleep, your ass pops out of bed like you're Frankenstein that just found.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You're like, what are you doing? What did you get into? What are you drinking? Give me some. And you, because it's so loud. At 2 a.m, it's loud. However, even if I could invent a can, and I got some ideas on this. That it's got to be durable and it's got to hold up under pressure. So you can't make it out of rubber or anything where it's quiet. I got some ideas on this, but the one drawback to it is sometimes when you, like, let's say you finish a long day of working and you plop down outside and you're in your lawn chair or your little rocking chair and you grab a drink and you reach over and you're just relaxing and you're going to enjoy that cold beverage. You want to hear that snap. You want to hear that can. You want to hear it. And you wouldn't, if I made my cans, you wouldn't get to. And that'd be like, oh,
that'd be not satisfying.
No, it really would take something out of the experience. So
you want night cans.
I want wife cans. This one I opened the other day, I'm so surprised you didn't. It woke up the dogs and you didn't move. You were sound asleep, but it was so loud. I knew in my heart Dr. McDreamy sat up 1,000 miles away at his bed going, you're not supposed to be drinking that.
Exactly.
Because it was that loud. It was that loud. So anyway, if I did put some time into it. I'm trying to think of a way to make it where they don't. It's not, you can't hear it.
Night cans. I have one more beef to talk to you about.
And you said I'm complaining all the time.
Well, no, because I save them for the podcast. So I just let it all out right here.
All right, go ahead. I'm ready. I'm strong.
I have no idea what this fetish is about pillows on her bed. You are the only man that I know that destroys pillows.
Okay, you're like every other woman and you've got 87 pillows on the bed.
They're for you. I have 2 pillows.
Yeah, you do.
How many do you have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11.
He sleeps with 11 pillows.
I do.
11 people.
And 2 of them are body pillows. They're full length body pillows.
But the thing is that you destroy them. One, I don't know,
away.
You wrestle. Maybe you're wrestling your gorilla in your dreams or something. I don't know, but the pillowcases come off. And then what once looked like a pillow is not a pillow anymore. It's like a rock.
Okay, that pillow that you just threw out.
Oh, yeah, I threw it out.
I finally got that to the right shape where I put that in the corner of the bed.
No.
So that it fits, and then I could put the other pillows. It took me like
you
6 months.
You can't even put a pillowcase on it. You, like, folded it in half, and now it doesn't even move.
But it took 6 months of folding it to get it where I wanted it, and then you threw it out.
No, use that appropriately.
Then you went to the... Here's what was funny. Was it... You're yelling at me about this the other day. I didn't think you were going to bring it up again. And as you're yelling, you went to the closet, and you pulled out a brand new pillow, unwrapped it, and you put it in a pillowcase. I'm like, wait, do you just have a supply of pillows?
Yes, I do.
In the closet?
Yes, I do.
Just in case there's some sort of pillow emergency?
They're for guests. Well, I always have extra pillows just in case a guest wants an extra
pillow. Blew my mind
that
you had a pillow still in the wrapping, ready to go. I was like, okay, that's weird.
That's impressive, isn't it?
It was impressive, but it was also a little weird, too.
Yeah, well, I also have a husband that destroys them.
That's not just, I was forming it to my comfort zone and you threw it out.
Yep, I did. It's gone. See you later. Adios. Well,
whatever.
So. All right, well, we promised everyone I get to ask questions to you.
You've been asking me questions
all
morning.
You, not you. The you, not you questions.
Oh, the you, not you thing. Yeah, that I did to you last week.
Yeah, so now I'm returning
the favor.
Now
remember, I left out a lot of the sexual aspect ones. So, you know, if you
want to. Well, thank God. That's a good thing.
All right, so this, in case you guys don't remember, this game is called You, Not You, and she just asks me a question, and my only answer can be you or not you. So these are personal questions about my life. You know, first time I ever shook someone's hand, I would go, not you, because I shook someone's hand before I knew
you. Yeah, your dad when you were born.
Yeah, so the answer to that is not you. Go ahead, I'm ready.
All right, first kiss.
Not you.
Best kiss.
You see, you answered not me last week.
I know.
Best kiss?
I know what I answered. You don't have to remind me.
Best kiss. I'm gonna say you because I got one in mind. I'm going to say you.
Aw, good answer. Best date ever.
Oh, for sure you.
Oh, Good answer.
I mean, I already knew that one. That
good
was
answer.
Without a
you
doubt.
Might get lunch today.
I might.
Worst date ever.
Not you.
Whew.
I mean, and we had to think about that. That no, I've been on some dates that would rank up in the Guinness Book of World Records as worst dates ever.
Smartest person you've dated?
Not you. Not even close.
What? Who'd you date?
I don't tell you that. I just got to answer. Not you. I promise. As much as I love you and you're a smart woman, you are not the smartest chick I've ever gone out with.
The girl your parents hated the most.
Well, not you. You're the one they love the most. So,
They would not. They'd adopt me in a heartbeat.
My mom even told me one time, if you ever get divorced, I'm siding with her. I go, what if it's her fault? She goes, I don't care.
I know. I'm already in the whole family. I love that
you're in
one.
The will and I'm out.
Exactly. Everything's going to be willed to me and you can borrow my money, okay? How's that?
That's about right.
Strongest person.
Strongest.
What does that mean, though? Strongest in
what? When you ask for
physically,
you're the one asking the question, because when it was a guy question, like when I asked you, who's the strongest man you've ever dated, I was thinking that from
physically,
like a masculine man, strong guy.
Well, I'm not the strongest.
So, well, considering I've dated a boxing chick and a weightlifting chick, no, you probably weren't the strongest.
Oh God, physically. No.
You hit about as hard as they do, though. I will say that. You've hit me pretty hard a couple times. It rang my bell.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm done. I don't want to know anymore.
All right. That's good.
That's all easy. I want to know.
I got off really easy.
I got the good ones.
I'll tell you one story a car story real quick that you probably don't know. And this is going to be hard to describe.
I know all your stories.
Okay. So
bullshit
tell me.
Bullshit and not.
Tell me about the welding story in the mid-90s.
When you welded the bolts out of it.
Okay, you ruined the punchline. you ruined the whole fucking thing. Now what am I supposed to say?
Tell the story.
Okay. There's a common practice now for taking out iron threaded bolts out of an aluminum block, an aluminum head. Because if you weld a nut onto the end of it, it won't weld to the aluminum. You back it right out with a wrench. But like 30 years ago, nobody had done that yet. Nobody was doing that. And there was a job on Nissans. They were breaking Nissan, having exhaust bolt problems. The dealership was charging minimum of $1,100 to $2,000 to pull the engine out, extract these bolts, and put everything back together and set your engine back in.
That's not an easy job, though, pulling an engine.
Mm-mm, not on these. And I figured out a way to pull off the inner fender and take off the tire, pull off the fender, and I could see the broken bolts.
Hmm.
And I gained access to them. I started spot welding, wire feed welding nuts on the heads and backing them off with a wrench. So I was getting, these dealership was taking 2 to 3 days to do these jobs and charging up to $2,000. I was getting them done in an afternoon and charging $600.
Half the price.
And I'm telling you, once word got out, and this was up in Central Oregon, once word got out, I had a line of these Nissans for days. And then gradually other people, I think other people might have been doing it too across the country. I mean, I can't be the only guy that figured it out, but it wasn't commonly known. Now everybody's doing it. It's on YouTube videos all the time. It's on TikTok 1 minute videos. But back then, nobody had even thought of it. Nobody even heard of it. And plus, when you hook up a welder to your engine, it fries your computer. The voltage going through there can damage the computer. So I had bought a trap for the battery, electronic trap, and it worked. And I was doing them all the time. So, yeah, I was one of the few guys in the very beginning doing that way back. I want to say this was 93 or 94, maybe 94, somewhere in there. Yeah, so there you go. I was ahead of my time at the time.
It sounds like it. That's cool.
So now you know that, which apparently you already did because you told the punchline before I got to the end of the story. So,
well, yeah. I don't know. I think our hour's up.
How much time do you think we've been on here?
I'm going to say it's 11. I'm going to go with, I think we started on time. So 60 minutes.
61 minutes.
Yeah, I thought we started on time today.
Do you remember last week when I told you that I was driving and I found a Mexican restaurant with pole dancing?
Yeah, which I told you was bullshit.
And I showed you the picture.
But it was a separate building.
I found it on Google Street View.
Yeah, you did. You showed me the picture. But it was two different places, two different buildings.
You don't know that.
Yep.
It
the
was
way
on a,
the sign was, it wasn't like written in the same script as the Mexican restaurant.
Well, if you added it later, if you had your Mexican restaurant up there, and then you just decided to add pole dancing to your amongst your restaurateurs, you would add that sign.
So you know they, what? The Democrats need you to work for them.
Why?
You just like spin that story
oh
so well.
Oh my God. You denied that it was even true. I found it. I proved it. You look at me right here. Hero status, I think, is the word you're looking
please.
For.
Please.
Hero. This
oh,
guy right
please.
Here. It's true. You're not listening. The whole goddamn, I did it right and I found it. So now you know what I know.
No.
All right. There was a, I don't think I had anything else. There was no more notes on this stuff. That's about it. Other than, again, we didn't have our intro song playing because of Josh Maddox.
Would you stop it?
I don't know what it's going to take. I asked. We talked about it. He just doesn't love me. No, that's what it is.
You know what? I've asked for my closet door to be put up in the guest bedroom, but that's not done. Man, I've asked for my new light to be put up in the hallway, but man, that's not done.
Okay.
Even though we talked about that, I don't know. Why isn't that being done? Oh, and you know what? I bought new curtains for the living room with a new rod, and boy, that's not done. Somebody's slacking.
Okay. I said I'd get to it. You don't need to bother me about it every 6 months. Okay.
You have 2 weeks.
I'm pacing myself.
You have 2 weeks.
Or what?
Or I hire somebody to do it. Two weeks.
Well, I guess we can call that a show because then we're right about an hour. Went right on time, and then we can I can edit this thing together. I still got my gumption, man. I got my mojo. I'm ready to go.
Well, congratulations.
But because,
way to go.
Because you've been so mean to me today, I'm not going to.
Oh, here we go.
My gumption is not going to help you with any of your honey-do list stuff. Sorry, I'm not helping you.
Yeah, well, I guess you better find somebody to feed you today.
Why? I've been nothing but kind and wonderful to you. You,
really?
On the other hand, have been horrible.
I have been absolutely delightful.
Is that what we're calling
this? I just
call
you out on your bullshit.
We're calling
I'm
this delightful?
I'm the only one that can.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, then say goodbye, Gracie, and we'll call it a day.
Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for sticking around. If you had an hour of your day to waste, we're very happy you chose to waste it with Gen X Talks and the podcast. For those of you on the radio station, we'll continue on after I cut everything off. But once again, we're not sure where you're listening in from around the planet, AM, FM, Sirius XM, or perhaps you tuned in on the Armed Service Radio Network. Remember two things. Wherever you go, there you are. We'll catch you guys on the flip side.